This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. And we've been talking this week about the unity in the body of Christ. This body of Christ with a call upon it to be the glorious church. This body of Christ with the revelation of what it means to be a body in Ephesians 1, all the book of Ephesians. But in Ephesians chapter 1, he shows us how we're lifted, and 2, to be actually when Christ was quickened, he was given to be the head over the body. And when he was raised, we were raised. When he was quickened, we were quickened. When he was raised, we were raised. When he was seated, we were seated. And then it tells us in Ephesians chapter 3 that God wants this body to reveal to the principalities and powers in the heavenlies the manifold wisdom or the infinitely diversified power of God, and that he has an eternal purpose for us. There in the book of Ephesians, it tells us that if we'll walk and we'll learn and we pray about knowing the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, Ephesians 3:13-19, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Can you believe that? Is that a carrot on a stick? That God promised you could be filled with all the fullness of God, and that the church and the earth can be filled with all the fullness of God? No, it's not. Look at the next verse, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And then it goes right on to the fourth chapter. After all those high, glorious truths, then he tells us, this is how you walk it. This is how you have it manifest in you. Chapter 4, Ephesians, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We are always told to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. One body, one Spirit, called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There is one body, and that body is to walk without schism. 1 Corinthians 12:25, no schism in the body, no division in the body. But now look what he says here. Let's examine this closely. Verse 3, endeavoring, that means you have to try. You have to do it. It's not going to fall on you like ripe cherries off the tree. The body of Christ is not going to walk in unity without any problems, without its members, its cells, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Peace, peace. Now, this bond of peace is not the man's definition of peace. Jesus said, I'm going to get peace for you. That's what he told them. Not as the world knows peace, but another kind of peace. Man's definition of peace is often limited to the absence of war or conflict in the world or even in the mind. But God's meaning of peace, like love, has length and breadth and depth and height. All its manifold aspects are found in the Hebrew word for peace, shalom, and especially in its root word, shalem. One needs a simple, basic understanding of the root system of the Hebrew words to see this. And I especially like the simple way Edward Horowitz explains it in his book, How the Hebrew Language Grew. Quoting him, "We now come to the central theme of all word building in Hebrew. It is the central rhythm of the whole vast, far-flung structure of the Hebrew language. And this is it. Practically all words in Hebrew go back to a root, R-O-O-T. And this root must have in it, and usually has, three consonants. You can do anything you want to the root. You can use it in any verb form or tense. You can turn it into any one of 10 or 20 or even more nouns. You can make it an adjective, adverb, preposition, or what you will. But no matter what you do, you will always see glaring you in the face the three consonants of the root. You can never escape them. And equally important, no matter what you do with the root, no matter into what word you turn it, that word must carry in it something of the meaning of the root." Horowitz illustrated the word family of the most widely used word, Hebrew word, in the world. That word is, you might guess hallelujah, but that's not it. The most widely used Hebrew word in the world is amen. He used a word wheel. You can imagine this as a wagon wheel. In the hub is the three-letter root word. And out of it, out from those three-letter roots, three letters, with vowel sounds weaving in and out between the consonants of the root, grows the word family. And there are word families. You can see the relationship between the words. For example, amen, aleph, mem, nun, has the meaning, may this prayer come true. Other words in that family have to do with what it takes to make a prayer come true. It takes emunah, aleph, mem, nun, again, but with some vowel sounds changed, emunah, and that word is faith. It takes faith to make a prayer come true. Another word in that word family is the word for truth. It takes the truth of God's word to make a prayer come true. You get the idea. So now we're going to look at a root, at a family whose root is the word shalem. Shin, lamed, mem. The root word means be whole, W-H-O-L-E, complete. Now let's look at our word, English word, peace, and its family, but we're going to look at the Hebrew word, shalom. The three-letter root word of shalom is shalem. Shalem means be whole, complete. Growing out from that root, we have our word for peace, shalom. The three Hebrew letters spelling shalem are shin, laban, lamed, mem. The four Hebrew letters spelling shalom are shin, lamed, vav, mem. It just adds a vav. You can look in your Hebrew alphabet listing and find these letters that we're talking about. You don't have an Hebrew alphabet listing? You probably do. You probably do have a Hebrew alphabet list if you have a good reference Bible. It is the longest book in the Bible, Psalm 119. Hebrew children learn their alphabet. When the Greeks use this word, they change it to alphabet. They learn their alphabet, the Hebrew children, with this psalm. Each verse under the letters begins with the letter that heads up that group of verses. Shin is over the eight verses from 161 to 168. Lamed is over verses 89 through 96. Mem is over verses 97 through 104. And the Vav is over verses 41 through 48. Now, let's go back to the teacher, Edward Horowitz, and his book, How the Hebrew Language Grew. And let us keep in mind, he is teaching English-speaking Jewish children about the Hebrew language. And he writes, "The root word shalem, be whole, complete. It probably never occurred to you, and it may faintly amuse you to know that when someone says to you inquiringly, 'Ma shlomcha?' What is your peace?" he is actually asking you whether you are whole. Are you complete in one piece? They want assurance that no part of you is broken. The root word, not your fingers or toes or legs or arms, that nothing is broken. They want assurance of you that nothing is missing, nothing is broken. The root meaning of our familiar greeting word, shalom, writes this Hebrew teacher, is shalem, whole, complete. If you're whole, you're probably well and at peace. It is interesting to note that the English greeting hail has the same meaning as shalom, namely being whole. You can see that from hail, H-A-I-L. You can see how that derived from whole. When someone says hail or hello even, he is wishing that you are whole. So in Israel, they greet each other, shalom. That is speaking peace unto you, the peace that comes from being whole. And then if you're a woman, they'll say, ma shlomech. If you're a man, they say, ma shlomcha. Ma is the Hebrew word for what? And they're asking, what is your peace? Is anything broken? Your fingers, your toes, your legs, your arms, your money? Is it missing? Is anything broken about you? And that is giving to you and to me the real meaning of the word shalom. When I start this radio broadcast, I think we should all greet each other with shalom. And they did it in Bible times. Jesus did it. Moses did it. They all did it. They said, shalom. When I say that at the beginning of the broadcast, I'm saying to you, shalom. Be whole. Be whole in your minds, in your will, and in your emotions. Be whole. Have the peace that comes from being whole. We do thank God for the Holy Spirit that reveals these things to us. And we're having a Holy Spirit conference here in Branson, Missouri. And you can come to it. We believe that the gifts of the Spirit are so important in these last days. And so two of the ones that we really know, who know how to flow in the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and they should be manifest in our services, are the two that we have invited to come are Reverend Joe Jordan and Reverend Ron Smith, and they are from Papa and Mama Goodwin's Church. I'm going to be teaching with them. This is June 12th through 17. We'll be meeting out here at Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks every day. We'll be having a lunch together. We order in really good food. The cost is $75. You can go online. That really just pays for the food. You can go online at billybrim.org, or you can call us at 1-800-972-3447 to register. If you can't come and be with us in person, you can register. And if you are a minister and you can't come, we have a special way for you to join us. This is Billy Brim also inviting you to be sure to have your youth with us at the Champions for Christ Youth Rally, July 23rd through 27. Go online and find out all about that. This is Billy Brim saying, shalom, shalom, in the true meaning of shalom, until we meet tomorrow and ever after.